The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Third and final hour. It's the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Thanks so much for joining us and being a part of the program. Isn't it fun when you get to do your own theme song? As you heard some harmonica playing there, Biff Gore on guitar. You don't get to hear the vocals there, but that was my Jimmy at the Crossroads theme song. If you Google, actually, YouTube, Jimmy at the Crossroads music video. It is a lot of fun. Biff Gore is incredible. But we have our conversations with the candidates continuing this morning, and we've got here in studio, returning once again, Republican candidate for Secretary of State, Tina Peters, joining us on the program. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jimmy. Thank you for having me.
Long time no see. I saw you and your other two opponents in the primary at the Women of Weld event at Fort Lupton on Thursday night.
That was an amazing event, and you are incredible. I didn't know you could sing, dance, and play the harmonica.
I don't know about dancing. I mean, that's the part where I'm just like, I move around.
It was good. You had a lot of energy.
Yeah, thank you. No, it was a lot of fun. It's always fun to play music, and it's a great group.
Yeah.
The Republican Women of Weld, so that was a lot of fun. So we've got a couple of segments to chat, and so I want to be able to cover enough ground. So if you could give me the Cliff Notes version here, since we did have you on a handful of weeks ago in studio, and I encourage folks to go back and listen to that interview if you missed it. But who is Tina Peters, and briefly, why are you running for Secretary of State?
Okay, that's a good question. So I was a homeschool mom. Every man in my family was in the military. We owned a business for 32 years, so I managed that. And it got to the point in 2016, I said, you know, I've got to get involved. We cannot let that woman, and I think your listeners know who I'm talking about, get into office. And I just started walking and talking to people and listening to them. And I think that's important to listen. I just would go up to their door and I'd say, you know, hi, I'm Tina Peters. I'm a concerned citizen. How do you feel about the election? And they would just talk. So with that, I decided I needed to be involved because I was one of eight volunteers that day when I went to volunteer, and I went, oh my gosh, we've got to get involved. So I looked to see how I could run, how I could help my community, and decided to run for clerk and recorder because there were 3.5 hour wait times. Literally, there was a waiting room before the waiting room. And I said, I can fix that. I'm a Gold Star mom. I lost my son while I was running for office. When I told him that I was going to run for office, I said, I think I'm going to run for office. And he said, Mom, you got this. He said, the only thing is you'll probably do more than what's required. And I remember after he was gone, I read his SEAL Team 6 paperwork. And in there it says, describe your mom. And he said, she fixes things. And I think that accurately describes what I do. I go and I look for where there are flaws or where we can make things more efficient and cost effective and more friendly, more public friendly. And I fix those things. And that's what I've done in the clerk and recorder's office. And that's what I'm going to do in the Secretary of State's office.
So briefly, why you? Why Tina Peters?
That's a good question, Jimmy. So people knew back in November, I kept getting texts of November of 2021, are you running for Secretary of State? And I'd go, no, you know. And actually, in January, I announced that I was running again for clerk and recorder because I didn't want to leave my people in the county. I didn't want to leave the employees that that I had helped so much. So in February 12th, I saw where the Biden administration had decided to once again quash the information from J. Alex Halderman. J. Alex Halderman is a Democrat professor that in 2007 he started taking his students through the process of how to hack a voting machine. And in 2017, he testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee and said, we've got to get this information out to both Republicans and Democrats before the 2018 and the 2020 election. And they kept silencing and banning it. And February 12th was the last straw. I said, people have to, I'm the only one that can do this. So February 14th, Valentine's Day, I said, I'm stepping into the race. So I've been in the race for 4 months. I've raised more than both of my opponents combined. I believe that we've got to protect our elections. We've got to protect. I don't care what party you are. It should matter. Your vote should count for who you voted for, and it should not be diluted by ineligible voters' ballots being cast.
I want to get into something we didn't really get to have time to discuss in our last conversation, and that is the electability issue, because clearly Jenna Griswold is a partisan hack. She has acted in a way that I think is unbecoming the office of Secretary of State. She's had massive turnover, literally unprecedented turnover in that office. So without question, she has to go. But that means we have to have a nominee in the Republican Party who's going to be equipped to take on Jenna Griswold. We'll get into some specifics, but why do you think you are the one person who is most electable in this race if you were to the nominee?
Okay. I'm the only one she's afraid of. You haven't heard her be afraid of my other two opponents. As a matter of fact, the day I announced, it was in the CNBC, it was in the New York Times, it was in the Rolling Stone even, that I was running. None of my other opponents are a threat to Jenna Griswold because she knows I know where the bodies are buried. And I'm going to clean out that office, and I'm going to shape up our voting systems in Colorado.
So I got to push back on that a little bit because I have seen her on, she's a darling of cable news, MSNBC, CNN, or the mainstream. You see her on CBS News and other places. And every chance she gets, she will bring up your name. Mm-hmm. And then she ends up raising $2+ million because she talks about Tina Peters. She talks about Big Lies. She emphasizes these points. She's literally raising millions of dollars off of your name. How is she fearful of Tina Peters if you're raising, yes, more than your opponents, but you're raising a fraction of what she's raised, and she's raising so much off of your name?
Jenna Griswold is a felon. She has committed crimes against the people of Colorado.
Can you be specific?
Yes, I will. So in April 6th, we had a municipal election. So, a lot of people will say, oh, Tina Peters, she's a Trumpster. She's a election denier. I didn't think that in Mesa County, now I'm not talking for the rest of the United States. I didn't think in Mesa County that anything was irregular during the 2020 election because Trump won in our county. We're a very conservative county. It wasn't until the April 6th election. And as the clerk and recorder who runs the election, I pulled those totals that night at 7 p.m. and I got sick to my stomach. I said, there's no way these are accurate, that a progressive that wore a mask the whole time that he was running from California and a friend of Jared Polis that had moved in to the area could have won against these other conservative candidates. So I knew something was up then, but I didn't know exactly what. Dominion and the Secretary of State were coming in a month later to do what they called a trusted build. And isn't it interesting that they would use such a righteous name for something that was so egregious that they did? But they had told me they were going to delete a QR code program, which I reasoned as a business owner and anyone that has a computer that's going to do an upgrade or change their computer in some way, you need to preserve what you already have on your computer system in case you make a mistake or something gets erased, right? So I went ahead and arranged to have a forensic image done of the computer to preserve that QR code program because I reason that if we ever did need to do an audit, and at the time there was not, I didn't know that we would, but according to federal and state law, by federal law, I'm required to keep election records for 22 months, and by state law, Colorado state law, it's 25 months. And I said, how could I do a audit if it was ever called upon me to do that? And this is 6 months after the 2020 election. Without this program, because this is what reads the ballots of people that go in and vote on the machine. So I arranged to have a forensic image. And then after they left, I had another image made. And when the cyber experts, and we're talking people that have their master's and their PhD from Harvard, we're talking very, very skilled. I mean, some of these cyber experts have thwarted terrorist attacks and done great things. That is their specialty, is computers and that sort of thing. Once they looked at the comparison between the two images, they were shocked. They were shocked.
At what?
Okay, there's three reports, and they're on my website.
Well, what's the main thing? Deletions. The argument is that there were 29,000 event logs that were deleted.
Right. So in the first report, it showed that there were 29,000 election files deleted. And, you know, the Secretary of State said, no, those aren't election files. Well, yes, they are.
What kind of election files?
These are access and audit log files, and adjudication
files.
Event
logs for the computers.
That's right. This shows how you get to the total of the election. So clerks back up the totals, but this is all the evidence of how you get to the total.
I want to get at a couple of quick things here because you shared a bunch. One, when you talk about the 29,000 event logs, my understanding, and I've read the three reports. These are event logs for the computers. That's different from the Dominion software, which has event logs within it in the program files for the Dominion software. When you're talking about the event logs, those, and I've read the statute as well, both federal guidance mm-hmm. and statute and the state statute, those don't fall under election records.
Yes, they do.
They're event logs for the computers. They don't fall under the definition.
No, this is actually the Dominion system. Event and access and audit logs.
The computer.
So this is the Dominion computer that we're using.
There are two separate things. There's a computer and there's a software on the computer. You know that there's no such thing as an actual Dominion voting machine.
Yes, there are.
It's a computer that is connected to a scanner, and that scanner is then utilized through a tabulation software that's Dominion, the adjudication software on a Windows computer, mm-hmm. and the ICX. But that's also a Windows operating system that you use to do with the touch screen.
Okay.
It's a tablet, but it's a software that is loaded onto that tablet. It's not a specific standard. There's no actual Dominion voting machine.
Let me clarify that for you. So the Dominion system, the upgrade and the software that was on the computer that actually tabulates the votes, stores the information, proves how they got to, who intruded the system, what they did. It's all logged into the Dominion system. So Dominion came in, they deleted all that and overwrote it with a new system.
They reinstalled Windows.
No, it's more than that.
That was part of it. They reinstalled Windows and they replaced the version of the so-called trusted build, the software and firmware.
Okay,
they
so
did both of those.
I think it
wiped the hard drive clean in that process. Because when you install a new version of Windows, that's what happens unless you don't do a clean install, which is the process they do. Maybe they shouldn't do it, but they do that process.
Okay, well, when they did it, Dominion deleted and the Secretary of State deleted the election log files and the election access and audit files from the computer that prove how they got to the totals that were preserved.
That's not what was deleted, Tina.
These are computer events.
We could check during the break. These are computer event logs that don't fall under that statute of election records. But when you look at the QR program, I did want to get clarification on what you mean by a deleted QR program, because when I was at the Canvas board for the logic and accuracy test, mm-hmm. They talked about how they're phasing out the QR code for the ballots. And so what they're going to do is have people print out a new kind of a ballot that doesn't use the QR code. And so they're changing that process. So that confused me as to what you were talking about with regards to a QR code program, because that sounded like what you were mm-hmm. talking about.
Well, if you're able to read some of the excerpts of J. Alex Halderman, you'll find out about the ICX. But what we're talking right now is we're talking about the election management system. So it was actually exactly 28,989 files that were deleted. By law, they must be preserved. And And if you look at the requirements of the Federal Election Commission's 2002 voting system standards, the Colorado statutory requirement, it states that, quote, election audit trails provide the supporting documentation for verifying the accuracy of reported election results.
Right.
They present a concrete, indestructible archival record of all system activity related to the vote tally and are essential for public confidence in the accuracy of the tally, for recounts, and for evidence in the event of criminal or civil litigation.
Here's what's confusing to me about your ascribing the event logs as going under that definition.
These are log files.
If you go to any of your fellow clerks and you ask them about what they have as far as backups, they are able to recreate their elections with the ballot images or with the physical ballots that, of course, you have to save under state law for 25 mm-hmm. months. And when you go through that whole process of backing things up, you have the version of the so-called trusted build that you can install at a computer, and you have those ballot images, and you can go ahead and compare if you need to do a sort of recount. You can do that today. You could do that in Mesa County as of this moment. And so what I don't agree with is the impression that what you're talking about is actually deletions of relevant files to show how the election results were tallied, because you could recreate the election today.
No, you could recreate the totals of the election. So let me just tell you, log files are critical to the ability to detect improper operation, including the ability to detect malicious intrusions as well as other improper activities and conditions and configuration changes that could enable alteration of the actual vote count. So let me just say this, because I know these reports, and I know that people that don't that and the clerks. I can relate to them. I believe that the Colorado election system was the gold standard. I'd been told they weren't connected to the internet. We showed in our second report there's 36 wireless devices, undeniably. Now they're saying yes. Well, there are wireless devices. They can be connected to the internet, but we don't connect them. Well, that is against the law. So you know, everything that they've said in the past is in question. So the examination by these brilliant now you're talking about clerks that know election processes, but they don't know computers. So the examination also found that the destruction of critical log files had occurred.
Okay.
And so this is election related data explicitly required.
I got to run to a break.
Okay.
I don't agree with that interpretation. You could recreate the election at any point, and you absolutely can. Clerks have told me that they have the capacity to do that. Respectfully, I would disagree there. But what's the website so people can go if they want to read the reports themselves?
You bet. TinaPetersForColorado.com. TinaPetersForColorado.com.
And that's where you can access the reports yourself.
And there's also, if you go to Selection Code, it's like election with an S on the front, .com, you can hear a two-minute trailer about a movie that's coming out about this very thing.
Sure. We're going to take a quick break. Tina Peters, kind enough to join us again here in studio on News Talk 710 KNUS. It's the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Great to be with you on the program. Tina Peters joining us here in studio. I think we're having a headphone malfunction right now as we as we get going there. I think we got off track from the question of electability, and I want to get back to that question with you.
Okay.
So when it comes to that electability issue in terms of the raising of money with regards to Jenner Griswold, I mean, you really do have a situation where money isn't everything by far, but it is very significant, especially when you're talking about a big differential. How do you overcome that?
Believe me, I will have the money to beat her. There is no problem. This has gone nationwide. I have a support everywhere, including a mass base in Colorado. People know that something is not right in our elections, and elections have consequences. And everything that every policy issue, every decision that's made for every person's lives comes all the way back to the foundation of our voting systems and making sure that voters have a voice. And that's why I'm here doing this.
So, of course, you will see, and we've already seen a little bit of advertisements against you, but you will see Jenna spend, if you're the nominee, however many millions that she's got, running ads that show things such as indicted by a grand jury on 7 felony counts, including a number that relate to identity theft accusations, by a Republican district attorney.
He's a never-Trumper.
Nevertheless, the whole rhetoric, it's all about the narrative.
Sure.
You know, they create the
it.
Narrative.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they'll show a video of the police arrest that at least appears that you were resisting arrest. We talked about that off-air last time and what you say about that, and you're welcome to address that. But you can also see that they would say, you know, show headlines of held in contempt, 3 different ethics complaints and what have you. Like, there's a lot that she can mm-hmm. bring towards you with that money. So when I talk about electability and others do, they're wondering, how do you address that?
Okay. Thank you. Every single thing that is against me is from Merrick Garland and Jenna Griswold, because they do not want the people to know what they've been doing inside these black boxes and how they've been subverting their elections. I mean, I was married for 36 years. I don't even have a speeding ticket, a parking ticket. You know, there was nothing they could do to dig up in my past. I've never been beholden to any special interest groups. But here you have a Soros operative that's been running Colorado into the ground, that just passed Senate Bill 22-153 that consolidates all the elected clerks' provisions and responsibilities to one person, and that's Jenna Griswold. You know, she's violating federal law and state law by deleting election records. There's so much that I can talk to, and I'm willing to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
I'm here to save Colorado. I don't care how much money she has. I'll have more if I need it. You know, this matters. What happens in Colorado? So Jenna Griswold is the chair of the Democrat Association of Secretary of States.
That's right.
I am one of the America First candidates. I'm one of 20 America First candidates for Secretary of State. So on our calls and on our meetings, we're able to compare what she does in Colorado with how her call him twin sister, Jocelyn Benson in Michigan, is doing to Christina Caramo, or, you know, to different people around the country, Jody Heiss, Tim Marchant. As a matter of fact, Tim Marchant just won, and they had outspent him 10-1.
Which state is that?
This is Nevada.
Yeah.
So Jim Marchant, he was the less funded candidate. I think he had a million, and his establishment primary opponent had $10 million. So money is not the issue here. Mm-hmm. The truth is the issue.
Sure.
And people will rally around the truth. And Jenna Griswold is a bad. What happens here in Colorado? I'm already dealing with people in Utah that have uber amounts of proof, Texas, all these things. And so we've got a national audience here to save Colorado, and I won't have to worry about funds, trust me.
So I always like to sort of game things out from a narrative standpoint, because,
sure,
of course, it's like when you're running in an election, you want to craft the narrative that you can. And I could see Jenna Griswold saying in response, well, you may say that I have committed felonies, but I haven't been indicted by a grand jury and a Republican district attorney on 7 felonies. And again, the language election,
sure,
security breach and dealing with identity theft.
Right.
How about that compare? Because
good.
That's
thank you.
That's a hard point when you're talking about a legal process versus.
So you have to understand this is all political theater. Because I am a threat. First of all, they do not want this information out to the public. Second of all, they do not want me to out a Jenna Griswold. So you've got two things going on here. And I think people are, even Republicans, you know, Republicans have let the left succeed by being go along, get along. You know, if someone raises a ruckus, let's move away from them. You know, don't examine the real issues behind, and that maybe this is just political theater. And I will point out that the indictment, it doesn't even have anything to do with what I did. It has nothing to do with it. It's influencing a public servant, things like that. There's like 4 or 5 counts of that. You know, they influenced me. They told me that we were the gold standard. They told me that these things, these machines were not connected to the internet. It's a lie. They, you know, talking about influencing a public servant. Identity theft, I feel very comfortable in my own identity. I'm not going to steal anyone else's. And if someone thought that I stole their identity, they should file a police report. So all this is just to get through the election, to sway the public's perception, to make sure that the electability factor is in place. And I will be totally exonerated. I have committed no crime, and so I'm not worried about that.
Republican candidate for Secretary of State Tina Peters joining us here in studio. I do. I have the third report. I have the indictment in front of me as well. And there are several issues related to criminal impersonation and whatnot. And the only reason I bring this up, because I don't want to get into the specifics of legal, but of course the indictment does allege that this gentleman, that there was somebody impersonating Gerald Wood on Sunday night, May 23rd, and then a couple of days later to do that trusted build, or before and after the trusted build, to take the images of the hard drive. And when you're talking about that kind of a thing, and it talks about emails among staff trying to create the password and the login credentials and all of that, mm-hmm. for Gerald and different accounts that were presented, that's, again, claims that are made in the indictment. Is it wrong for a voter to consider the indictment in the sense of saying, if they read it and they say, okay, there's enough here for me to wonder about the fitness of a candidate for, not to confirm guilt or innocence mm-hmm. of any law specifically, right. but to conclude a fitness for office question.
Okay. That's a good question. So remember that an indictment is just an accusation by one side. So we had asked to bring in our information. We'd asked to have a fair and balanced, grand jury. And they denied us. So just remember, it's someone that's trying to make a case. And also, you know, your listeners need to know that Merrick Garland has been involved in this from the very beginning. So why would Merrick Garland be so interested in a county clerk in Colorado and the images that she took of a machine that proves that there was election fraud? This is a bigger issue, and people need to not be swayed by the smokescreen and by the political theater and the media. I mean, most of us know we can't trust media anyway. You need to make sure that you get your facts from alternative media sources. So when you talk about that an indictment, that's just, like I said, that's just an accusation, and I will be absolved of all of that. And I think about the gentleman who. He perjured himself on the stand. We know that. And he's going to have to deal with that. But you have to think about, you know, he's a good man. How fearful he must have been. Because look what they've done.
Who
to
is
me.
This?
This is Gerald Wood. Just think about how fearful he must have been. Because look what they've done to me. They've thrown me in jail. They've handcuffed me. They've accused me of things I didn't commit. They actually had my husband, who was in a nursing home with advanced dementia, sign a divorce decree. The next month, after I found this out, the next month we would have been married 36 years. You know, so the things they've done, and they told the attorney not to help us because I was under investigation. This is our DA. And also, the night I was in jail, that they put me in jail, along with my chief deputy, who has done nothing as well, my father died. So then this DA called my family, my daughter in Chicago, my mother, 93-year-old mother in Virginia, and my two sisters in North Carolina, and told one sister, if you don't, and started harassing them, if you don't tell your sister to call me, I'm going to call the sheriff and have him arrest her for contempt. These are people that are desperate. They want to cover up their crime. They want to hide this. And if I don't win as your next Secretary of State, Colorado is done, Jimmy.
Let me first say I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I do think that when it comes to an indictment, it's important to know that these are allegations, but they are equivalent to charges that are presented. It's a little more than an accusation, but yes, that's what that's a legal process is. Of course, and this is a final question on this, and then we'll give you a final word and let you go, because I know you got to run to an event, Tina Peters. But when we look at the question of running for office and having these kinds of issues that are going on, I think it, there's a court of public opinion, and so you run up against that, especially with, again, if you don't raise the money that you're suggesting what Jen is presenting, or what she has raised and what she'll continue to raise. How do you persuade voters of the argument that you just made? Because I think that there's – I encourage folks to read your reports. I encourage folks to read the indictment. I do think that there's some stuff in the indictment that is at least relatively compelling for consideration. But again, they're all allegations and whatnot, not proven in the court of law. So when we talk about the court of public opinion, how do you assess that in the general election?
What you're asking me is, how do I convince the voters to get past all of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think they need to look at the facts. You know, like we've established that an indictment, I mean, look at Trump. Look how many times they've gone after him. You know, indictments, impeachments, and so on and so forth, and it comes to nothing. The Russia, you know, this is how they do. This is what the left does. And they do it with people they know that is a threat to them. And so I'm not worried about any of this. I have committed no crime. You know, I have weathered the storm. Most people, all the things they've done to me would have said, hey, I'm done. They can have their way. I can't do that, Jimmy. I raised a Navy SEAL. We run into the fire. We don't run away from it. And I know I'll be vindicated. And what God calls you to, he'll see you through.
I got to say, I do really appreciate you coming on in here this morning, answering questions, having a back and forth. Especially when there can be tough, pressing questions and whatnot. So I appreciate it very much. Tina Peters, what's a final word, and where can people go to learn more about you and your campaign?
Okay. Well, Jimmy, I appreciate you having me on. And I believe that if you tell the truth, you never have to worry about what you said. And at my age, that's a good thing. So you can go to TinaPetersForColorado.com. And also, I would encourage people to, and they'll hear more about this, to go. Laura Logan has done a documentary on me and the Mesa County situation, and it's gone national. And they can go to selectioncode.com, like election code with an S in front of it, .com, and see the 2-minute trailer. And I would just, you know, I will answer any question. I will never shy away from answering questions. I don't go and gather signatures, spend $85,000 to get people to sign petitions to get me on the ballot. I do not, you know, I want the people to want me. And that's what I have to leave it up to, is that do they want someone that has integrity, that will protect their vote, that will go in and clean out these registration systems and audit these machines and things like that, make sure that there's anti-counterfeit paper on their ballot. I mean, your $1 bill, Jimmy, and your wallet is printed on paper that cannot be duplicated. You know, there's real changes that need to happen in the Secretary of State's office, both for business. You know, I'm a business owner, and that's the first place businesses go, is the Secretary of State's office, as well as our elections. And just remember, elections have consequences, and the results of elections control this country. And I want to stop the fraud today.
Well, and we have ballots out right now. If you have not gotten your ballot, and I actually always wait until Election Day or the day before, because I'm kind of just very particular about
that. Good for you.
That's my approach. I mean, it means I get more mail and everything, and that gets annoying. But alas, that's what it is.
Let me just tell you about that. Just one thing about keeping it till the end.
Sure.
And voting. So what they're doing in the registration system, which they don't have the clerks, they forbid the clerks to go in there before the election until after the election is canvassed. They're manipulating the data. So it's important. They're seeing who's already voted, who might vote, who they can vote for. And we've proven this in our investigation. So it is good for everybody to show up on the last day, vote in person, and just overwhelm the system.
That's an aspect I'll have to look into. Tina Peters, always great. Thank you so much
for your time, Jimmy.
This morning. I appreciate it. And good to see you Thursday at the Republican Women of Weld as well.
You bet.
I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. You're listening to The Jimmy Sangenberger Show. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the other side. News Talk 710 KNUS. Ain't nothing better than hearing John Popper on harmonica, especially with Warren Haynes and Government Mule. That is a tune called Mule from, well, it's the title track to their first album called Mule. Government Mule with special guest at that time, John Popper of Blues Traveler. That's from the very early 90s. Great album. Government Mule is a phenomenal band. And actually, they're playing next Friday. I'm still working to make sure I can go. But next Friday night in Winter Park at the Blues from the Top Festival. And what a great event that always is. An incredible series of – it's a festival. It's a blues festival. And it has so many incredible musicians that always come. Government Mule's on Friday night. Tab Benoit playing on Sunday. And there are a number of other great musicians. I'm going to be going Friday night and Sunday, I hope. Still got to get my tickets and get that all sorted out. Good to be with you this morning. My thanks to Tina Peters for coming in studio, especially as she has an event this morning that, of course, takes time to get to. And so making time to come in studio, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for her willingness to engage. And that's what it's about when you're looking at an election. Is you have to suss out, especially in terms of primary, a number of different issues. Give people, voters, food for thought to understand, answer those kinds of questions that will help determine whether or not a particular candidate is equipped for a particular position. And sometimes there's a little bit of combativeness, but when you're willing to engage and you have a genuine discussion, that's what happens. And I appreciate Tina Peters for coming in for that. And I thought that was a great engagement. And I'm grateful for that. I'm also grateful to Laurel Eimer for coming on the program and Peggy Probst. Of course, Laurel is running for Congressional District 7 to be the Republican nominee up against Brittany Pederson, who's another radical lefty. And gosh, the Democrats anointed her to replace Ed Perlmutter. And we have three candidates that I think, you know, you can't go wrong here when you look at, of course, Laurel, you've got Tim Reichert, and you've got Eric Odland. And Eric Odland was on last week. If you missed that interview, be sure to check the podcast from last weekend. And the weekend before that, we had Tim Reichert. So that was all during the second hour, I think, each of those days. No, Tim, I think, was in the 8 o'clock third hour a couple of weeks ago. But nevertheless, you have, oh, just before the Western Conservative Summit. That's right. So if you go back to the podcast, you can listen to our interviews with actually every statewide candidate for office in the Republican primaries. Ron Hanks joining us last week. And of course, the three candidates for the 7th Congressional District and so forth. So much going on. So many very important races. Things to consider. Next week, we'll have a hodgepodge. I think we're going to have several different guests on. We're going to take calls, get your thoughts on the primary, get your thoughts on the candidates and who you voted for, why you voted for them, what your take is. I want to know what you're thinking, what you're voting on, and what your thought process is. Because, look, we are on the precipice of permanent devastation in Colorado if we don't do well this year. That's my belief. On the precipice. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I'm pessimistic if we don't win this one or at least make significant gains here in the state of Colorado this year, this November. It's crucial. In fact, I think in Colorado's case, it is the most important election of our lifetimes for Colorado. And that, I don't normally say that phrase, but I really think that it is true. And we all have to use discernment in making a determination as to how you're going to vote. I don't endorse candidates in primaries. I have no intention of doing so here on this occasion, but I do urge everybody to use discernment, think through the processes, think through who can win, think through the issues that are involved, so on and so forth. I also do think that it is deeply disturbing that the Democrats are spending millions of dollars to play in the Republican primary, and in very deceptive ways. Some of these flyers that I've been getting in the mail are just nothing short of shocking in terms of the brazenness to hide who they are, to make it so that you can't trace them, so on and so forth. It is absolutely stunning, but that's how the Democrats play. And keep that in mind, too, for November. They will play dirty against any candidate who becomes our nominee. The question is, can the candidates withstand that? We'll see, and we will find out. And next week, next Saturday, we will get your thoughts here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Randy Corcoran warming up in a bullpen. Don't go anywhere. 3 hours of Randy up ahead. News Talk 710 KNUS. God bless America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.